Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is now 6 p.m. on Tuesday, September 27, 2011. This public hearing is now open and will please come to order. My name is Patrick Butler, and I'm the Regional Supervisor for the NC Division of Air Quality of the Raleigh Regional Office. I have been appointed to be the hearing officer of this public hearing by the Director of the Division of Air Quality, Sheila Holman. My purpose here this afternoon is to receive in an orderly manner your comments, either written or oral, for consideration in the permit application for the Carolina Cement Company's proposed Portland Cement Manufacturing Plant. The focus of this hearing, and the only focus, is the draft air permit for the proposed facility and the applicability of air quality rules. Due to significant public interest, there is another hearing scheduled from 6 to 10 on September 29th at UNC Wilmington's Keenan Auditorium. It is only necessary that you speak at one of the scheduled hearings. Speaking at multiple hearings will not add any additional credence to your comments. One item I want to mention is parking, and this has kind of changed from the first hearing we had tonight. The dean of the school of the college here has said as long as you don't park in any numbered or lettered spaces, you should be fine. And earlier, we asked that you put a parking pass on, and if you did, that's great. But as long as you don't park in any assigned spaces, you should be fine tonight. Before I start receiving your comments, I'd like to take time to recognize any local dignitaries, such as town mayors, city or county officials, or state-elected legislatures. If you would, please stand and introduce yourselves to the audience. Is there no one here? Okay. Thank you for attending this hearing. There are also other members of the Division of Air Quality that are present today. Most notably, I'd like to introduce Booker Pullen. He's with our he's a permit engineer in the DAQ Central Office in Raleigh. He prepared the draft permit for this hearing, and we'll be hearing from him a little bit later. Tom Mather, I think, is outside at the table, but he's our public information officer in DAQ's central office in Raleigh. And Brad, are you around? Brad might be outside too, but Brad Newland, he's the Wilmington Regional Supervisor. He's here tonight as well. And I also want to thank the staff of the Wilmington Regional Office who are assisting tonight with registration and timekeeping and other tasks. The required 30-day public notice for this hearing was published on August 26, 2011 in the Wilmington Star News. The purpose of this public hearing is to provide the interested citizens of North Carolina the opportunity to comment on the proposed issuance of an air quality permit for the construction of a Portland cement manufacturing plant. The director of the Division of Air Quality has determined there is sufficient public interest and that a hearing be held to receive pertinent public comments. Your comments will be considered by the division as we decide whether to issue, modify, or deny the draft air permit for the proposed facility. Copies of the permit application and other supporting information submitted by Carolina Cement Company, the air permit review, and the draft air permit have been available at three locations. The first location is the North Carolina Department of Environment and Natural Resources Wilmington Regional Office, which is located at 127 Cardinal Drive Extension in Wilmington. And the second place is the Division of Air Quality's Air Permit Section, located at 2728 Capitol Boulevard in Raleigh. And the third place these documents can be found is the Division of Air Quality's website. If you haven't done so and wish to review these materials, they remain available to you at those locations. This evening, both oral and written comments may be presented. It is strongly urged that all comments be directed towards air quality and air emission issues. Following receipt and review of all relevant comments, a final recommendation will be made to the Director of Air Quality. So that everyone will understand the proceedings, the order of events for this meeting this afternoon will follow. Mr. Booker Pullen will briefly discuss the draft air permit and the permitting procedure. This will then be followed by the public comment period. We will receive comments from those persons who registered during the assignment period, indicating their desire to present oral comments. Also, you cannot be acknowledged to present comments without being registered and indicating your desire to present those oral comments. To provide time enough for everyone wishing to present comments, this meeting will be conducted in the following manner. If you have written comments, you can place them in the box located at the front of the stage. I think it's still down there. And they will be introduced in the hearing record. Those wishing to make oral comments will be allowed to do so. All efforts will be made to keep presentations in the sequence of your registration. To afford an opportunity to all persons desiring to speak, oral statements will be limited to 3 minutes. I've looked at the amount of comments, so we're going to stick with 3 minutes. And the timekeeper over here to my left will hold up a sign when you have 1 minute left and then another sign saying that your time is up. Please keep to this time schedule. For additional comments remaining after your oral presentation, presenters are strongly encouraged to submit written copies of those comments. These may be left here tonight or emailed to me. My business cards are available. And I put a box of my cards out on the front desk out in the registration table. Cross-examination of the person presenting comments will not be allowed. However, as the hearing officer, I may ask questions for clarification. Questions directed to DAQ staff members will not be answered during the hearing. I'm respectfully asking you to restrain any urges that you have to applaud, shout, or offer verbal support or criticism to others while offering their comments. We should respect each other's time. Please do not wave signs during the hearing. We want to give everyone who wishes to speak an opportunity to do so, but in an orderly fashion. In addition to the comments received at this hearing, the hearing record will remain open until October 31st, 2011. Written comments can be mailed to my attention at my office. My mail address is the Division of Air Quality, 3800 Barrett Drive, Raleigh, NC 27609. And again, my business cards are available at the front of the auditorium. And there's a slight discrepancy on the email address on my cards versus the one I'm going to read to you in just a minute. But either one of those addresses, the comments will come to me. The email address is patrick.butler@ncdener.gov. The ones on my card will say ncmail.org. They get to me. The server for the old email address has been left active, and they just automatically forward to me. Remember, this hearing is intended as a forum where I can hear your comments relevant to air quality issues, and only those comments will be considered in this recommendation. Again, the only focus of the hearing is presentation of comments related to draft permit and applicability of air quality regulation. I will now call on Booker Pullen, Division of Air Quality, Air Permitting Section, to present the explanation of the air permitting procedures and permit application review.
As stated earlier, my name is Booker Pullen. I'm with the Division of Air Quality, Air Permits Section. I will now read you an overview of this project. The North Carolina Division reviews applications to determine whether a facility will comply with all applicable air quality regulations. The permit is meant to A, identify all applicable emission limitations, and prescribe any testing, monitoring, and reporting requirements that will help us determine compliance with those limitations. I would note that the Division of Air Quality has no authority over land usage or zoning. Such issues are under the purview of local governments responding to for regulating land use. In February 2008, Titan Cement applied for an air quality permit to construct and operate a Portland cement manufacturing facility at their existing location at 6411 Ideal Cement Road in Castlehaine, North Carolina. In September 2009, the DAQ made available a draft permit and held 2 public hearings to take comments on the draft permit. In April of 2010, as a result of litigation related to the applicability of the State Environmental Policy Act, or SEPA, the department was enjoined from taking any action on the application. In December of 2010, the injunction was lifted and the division began processing the application again. Since the fall of 2009, when the first public hearings were held, there were several changes in the regulations that were applicable to this facility. As a result of these changes, the North Carolina Division of Air Quality requested that Titan amend their application to address these changes. The most prominent changes reflected in the current draft permit include the promulgations by the federal EPA of new technology-based standards for several pollutants to be emitted by the proposed facility. These changes include new technologies-based mercury limits. While not as stringent as the proposed rule, the new standard effectively reduced the mercury limit from approximately 263 pounds per year to 46 pounds per year. Also, a sulfur dioxide standard was established. The promulgation of a new ambient air quality standard, NAAQS, for sulfur dioxide and nitrogen dioxide, each defined as 1 hour values. NAAQS, as determined to protect human health and welfare with an adequate margin of safety. In light of the changes, Titan was required and did demonstrate that their proposed project would not cause or contribute to an exceedance of those standards. After careful review of the application, the North Carolina Division of Air Quality has made a preliminary determination that the proposed facility can comply with all applicable air quality requirements when operated according to the stipulations of the permit. As a result, the North Carolina Division of Air Quality has made available a draft permit and review documenting this determination. The Division of Air Quality is taking comment on the regulations applicable to this facility and the conditions in the draft permit.
Thank you, Booger. At this time, we will now hear from those in the audience who have indicated on the registration form that they would like to present oral comments. When your name is called, please make your way to the podium. To ensure that our records are complete, please clearly state your name and whom you are representing. Your comments will be recorded, so please speak loudly and clearly toward the microphone. Again, if you wish to submit written copies of your oral comments, you can place them in the box in front of me on the stage. I will do my best to pronounce your names correctly and apologize in advance for any errors. In order to save some time, I'll also announce the next speaker so that the person can come to the front and be prepared to speak. The first speaker tonight will be Robert Holloman, and he will be followed by Elwood Howard.
How you doing? I'm Robert Holloman. I'm a 39-year-old man. Married, 11-year-old son. I'm here to represent Titan. I have been unemployed for 2 years. I'm a hard-working man. I live in Vegas. Worked there for 5 years and laid off. I've been in the tile industry for pretty much all my life. I'm a prime example of being around concrete, cement, no health problems. I think it would be very beneficial for this company to be in our community. We don't need higher taxes. We need more taxpayers in this community. I just wish this company is here to make it better for us. Bring money to the communities, hire people. I just think that would be a very good idea. Okay? Thank you.
Okay, is Elwood Howard prepared to speak? And after Mr. Howard will be Bob Warwick.
Hi, I'm Elwood Ray Howard. I sent you an email, Bob. I really appreciate you reading that because it's the truth. And I spoke from my heart on that. My father helped build that plant up at Castle Hayne, and we lived a good life. I worked out there in the cement industry for 20 years. Now I'm retired to live a good life because I'm getting old. The fruits of my labor is proof that the cement industry is not a bad thing. And I just wish we could get more jobs in this area. There's 19% unemployment outside of New Hanover County right now. It's a shame we don't have anything for our children, young people to do something like that to do in the future. And I've seen you inspectors work over side by side with your inspectors over the years, in the last 20 years, and I know that you guys ain't paid politicians. I know that you guys do your job. You did a good job with IDEAL. And I knew if IDEAL screwed up, you shut them down, just like you do a Titan. And I'm so proud of you guys and the job you did, and I learned a lot from you. It's made me a better person by being around you. So thank you very much, and God bless you.
Bob Warwick will be followed by Bill Anion, and A-N-L-Y-N. Okay.
Hey, I'm Bob Warwick, and I'm a native of New Hanover County, and lived here all my life except for 4 years away in the university. Over 40 years I've been involved with, as a volunteer in economic development, with local organizations. I currently am chairman of the Coalition for Economic Advancement, which is an organization of local business people, and most of the major industry that's located in our area. And we are working for improving the job situation in our area, for increasing the investment in our area and the tax base. I have children and grandchildren that live in this area. I am a hunter and a fisherman, and I enjoy the recreational resources that we have. We support the Carolina Cement Project. Titan has proven that it can operate cement plants that are environmentally friendly and safe. They are good corporate citizens in Virginia and in Florida. They meet all the state and federal regulations. They will provide a significant economic investment in our community. They will provide a significant increase in the tax base. They will provide about 1,000 construction jobs and approximately 160 permanent jobs, plus there will be other businesses that will result from their being here. We are a nation of laws, and if Carolina Cement Company can meet the law, then they ought to be allowed to build and to operate that plant. I went to the dedication of that plant, which we recruited IDEAL Cement Company here about 45 years ago, and they operated that plant for approximately 25 years, and to my knowledge, there was no one ever injured or damaged by that plant. This plant, of course, is much more modern, much more efficient, and much more environmentally friendly. The only technical study that I know of was done by Intertox, and that study says that you have more danger of eating 2 teaspoons of canned tuna a month than you do from living next door to that cement plant. I think that that plant will be very safe for our area, and it will provide good jobs and investment. Thank you very much.
After Mr. Anlin is Jeff Geisler, G-I-S-L-E-R. Thank you.
I'm Bill Anlin. I live in Wilmington at 1702 Boatport, and I've been a native of North Carolina and lived down here for over 20 years. And I'm old enough to remember when Carolina Power and Light announced they were going to build a nuclear power plant in Southport. And I remember the consternation about that, and the impact it was going to have on air and water quality. And I think we were all led to believe that somehow it was going to irreparably harm us living around it. And as of this point, I haven't seen or heard of any long-term hazards that were created by the Brunswick nuclear plant. But I, like so many other people, question the validity of having a cement plant in our community. And I, one day, called up Bob Odom from the cement company, and I asked him, I said, would you be willing to sit down with me and talk about my concerns, which he did, not on one, but on 3 different occasions, because I, like Mr. Warwick, have children and grandchildren. And he met with me to discuss each and every point and every concern that I have. And based on those conversations and reading and listening to the pros and cons, I would ask you to consider 3 points. Most of the cement that we use now in the Hanover County comes from overseas, where there is little or no regulation on emissions. And my question is, when are we going to think globally when we act locally? Second, when I look around, I see other problems that we have. Childhood obesity and drug abuse are rampant in our area. I believe they create greater health risks than this cement plant ever will. So if you really care about the health of our children, why aren't we having hearings and demonstrations about these serious health risks? And last, we need jobs. There are thousands of people out of work looking for employment, and this company will provide us with 100 jobs. Over 100 jobs. Thank you.
Jeff Geisler and then Marissa Maxwell.
Good evening. I'm Jeff Geisler. I'm an attorney with the Southern Environmental Law Center. And I also want to thank you for having these hearings. I know it's a challenge for DAQ to get us together and to set it up after you. It's a great opportunity for the public. Tonight, there are lots of things in this permit, and we'll talk about a lot of them, but I want to focus on what I perceive as two promises that have been broken in this permit. And the first comes from the company. We've heard often in the media, and it's often the ads, you go to Carolina Cement website, this can be a very environmentally friendly plant. And the permit is where that, the draft permit is where that the rubber really hits the road on that. So I took the time to go through it. And I looked at it, and certainly in our written comments, we'll have disputes about what is the appropriate technology to be used. But even looking at the technology that is used, if the company were to use it with efficiencies that have been documented in other facilities, they could reduce mercury by more than 25% from what's in the draft permit. They could reduce total hydrocarbons, which burn people's lungs and cause respiratory problems, by more than 50%. They could reduce their hydrochloric acid emissions. They're proposing to do it at 40% approximately. They could reduce it 99%. They could reduce their nitrous oxide emissions by 80%. They could reduce their SO2 emissions by 65% from where it is in the draft permit. So when we're looking at what's environmentally friendly and looking at what's required by the law, it's asking not have they done enough to get by. It's asking have they done the best they can. It's what the law requires. And that's what we expect. That's what we'll be looking for. And this shouldn't come as a surprise because this is a company whose CEO testified in April that he thinks the Clean Air Act should be repealed. And it's a company that is currently actively working and investing lots of money in rolling back the protections that are currently in place for the cement industry. The company is advocating for even higher emissions, which makes the second promise even more important. And that's the one that's posted on DAQ's website. It's their mission to protect and improve outdoor air quality in North Carolina. And now we've had two rounds of draft permits here. The first, the Division of Air Quality made about a 1% reduction in emissions overall from what the company applied for. And this one, we've seen a reduction in approximately 2% of the overall emissions. That's not going in and looking at and giving a critical review of what this company has done, what they proposed, and what they can do to clean up the emissions that are coming from this facility. Because there are two options here. One is that they trap the pollutants in the facility, and the other is that it's trapping the environment in the lungs of people sitting in this room. Thank you. That's all my time. I'll be submitting written comments, and I look forward to working here.
Marissa Maxwell, and then Michael Klebo? Yeah.
That's a question.
I'm not used to speaking publicly.
Me neither.
I'm from the University of that area. And I know one of the things that is very mental is sort of volunteerism that goes to help with the Hudson River, which will be terribly contaminated. Now it's improved immensely, and it was done unfortunately, over a long period of time, but to jump to something else, as one young man was mentioning here, about that he's been working with a plant, with a cement plant, and he's perfectly fine and healthy. I have a cousin who died fairly recently, and he, as a teenager, would help his father with a company, a building company. They used asphalt, and the cancer that he had recently was from that, from the asphalt. We don't know what the future holds with any of these contaminants. And to say that it's wrong now doesn't mean it's not going to be bad in the future. Germany now has, I've read recently, that they had put the company that uses the in Southport, what's that? It's, they have, yes, in Southport, they were just mentioning about the, I can't remember the name of it, but anyhow, they closed those plants, the plants Germany put up that are, I can't
remember. Do you think they might need for a power plant?
Yes. Yeah. They're closing them. There's not the end. And Germany is, they are wonderful people as far as any kind of mechanical or chemical or anything like that. If they're stopping it, it's not for a good reason. So I ask these people, it's easy to speak about, oh yes, it's not going to hurt, or it's going to give jobs. Yes, maybe it will give jobs, but what is the future for the other, for the people that live near these places? I also heard that in a meeting several years ago, and I did not know about it, but it was not a nice thing to hear, that from here to Raleigh, there are many plants that go into that river. That's a beautiful river, and it's a shame. Most people come down here because of the quality, the air, and the living. And it's important, and it will get the tourists will not come in the abundance that they would be.
Okay. I appreciate your comments.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry to go.
That's right. Michael Clavone and then Aaron Lett.
My name is Michael Clavone, and I'm with the Duke Environmental Law and Policy Clinic, representing Tender Watch. And I've been listening to people speak here today, and I think it's really important to address jobs, because I know a lot of people are worried about employment in the area. As a member of the clinic, I want to talk about how the air regulations and how the Titan cement, the proposed cement factory, can really affect those jobs. The fact is, right now, New Hanover County is at 110 parts per billion sulfur dioxide regulations. New Hanover has to get below 75 parts per billion. If they don't, there's federal funding, there's all sorts of, you know, federal permits. The types of things that industry needs to grow to produce more jobs, these can be very much limited if New Hanover cannot reach these air quality standards. Now, of course, there's health effects as well. With these new standards, what you have is the prevention of 2,300 asthma attacks per year, 5,900 premature deaths, 54,000 asthma attacks, and $13 to $33 billion per year is estimated by the Environmental Protection Agency to be saved by having these higher standards. And this is due to new studies that have come out that have seen the adverse effects of sulfur dioxide. But what that means for New Hanover, what that means as far as jobs go, is that legally, you know, existing industry, not just these new factories that might come in, but existing industry has to take steps to limit those emissions. Oftentimes, this can limit growth, can limit jobs. Titan, of course, as a number of people have mentioned, they say they're going to bring in 160 new permanent jobs. Now, imagine there might be other things associated, but as far as permanent employment goes, it's really fairly limited. In comparison, you have other related industries that have over 1,000 people who also need to cut emissions at the same time. So if we're going to limit, if we're going to spend what we're, our sulfur dioxide emissions limits on something that produces sure jobs but not a whole lot of jobs, that doesn't seem like the, I guess, the most prudent way to do it. Currently, it's still under review where the boundary is going to be as far as where the non-attainment is. So basically, if you have too much sulfur dioxide in the air, they've got to determine, well, what part of the state is out of that requirement? And this, of course, will be affected by this factory. So I guess just to summarize, you have lots of industries who need to, you know, certain industry produces certain amounts of pollutants. Right now you have Elementis Chromium applying for new draft permits for the abuse sulfur dioxide, as you know, well as certain other industries. If we give these permits now, we're using that up and we're hurting the health, and it's not the most prudent. Thank you.
Aaron Litt, and then Drew Heath.
Hi, my name is Erin Lett. I'm also with the Duke Environmental Law and Policy Clinic, speaking on behalf of KinderWatch. North Carolina General Statute, Section 143-215, authorizes the Environmental Management Commission to require that an applicant for a pollution permit to have complied with effluent standards and limitations applicable to any activity in which the applicant has previously engaged and had been, and to have been in substantial compliance with other federal and state laws, regulations, and rules for the protection of the environment. As such, I would like to bring several previous violations of environmental laws and regulations by Titan America and its affiliates to the attention of DAQ so that they can consider them in their decision of whether to grant the air pollution permit. Titan currently operates two cement plants in the United States. One of these is Roanoke Cement in Virginia. In January of 2005, Roanoke Cement was cited for violations of its Title V permit and several sections of the state air pollution board regulations that resulted from excessive fugitive emissions from its haul roads and drill rig baghouses. The following year, Roanoke Cement was cited for additional violations of air pollution regulations for failing to properly test emissions as required by the National Emission Standards for hazardous air pollutants. Titan's other subsidiaries and affiliates in Virginia have been subject to citations for various other violations in the past decade. Most significantly, last month, Titan Virginia Ready Mix and Mechanical Concrete entered into a consent order with the State Water Control Board and the State Air Pollution Control Boards for violations stemming back to 2007. The violations cited in the 19-page order included discharging wastewater into the Elizabeth River from unpermitted sources, failure to collect wastewater for recycling and treatment prior to discharge, failure to monitor and report total petroleum hydrocarbons in its stormwater as required, and exceeding production volumes on its air pollution permits, and incompliant operation of its air pollution control equipment, among many others. This consent order subjected Titan to over $74,000 in civil charges. In addition, Titan's Florida affiliates have been subject to three consent orders, have been the subject of three consent orders just this year. The violations cited there included exceeding visible emissions opacity limits, failure to register an above-ground storage tank, and violations of their discharge permits. I would just like for the Commission and the Division of Air Quality to consider these violations in determining whether Titan is the kind of company we want operating in North Carolina. Thank you.
Thank you. Drew Heath, and then Ray Thacker, or Thatcher, maybe.
My name is Drew Heath. I'm an environmental studies major at UNCW, and I just want to thank you for taking the time out to come out here and hear our community and what we have to say about the situation. The way this cement plant affects me is because I've been spending time on Cape Fear River for probably the past 6 years, and it's something that I care about deeply, and something that I don't want to be destroyed. I'm not an expert on the situation. I've done my research, but I do know that you know, this plan is not going to be good for our community. I've known from the past and been reading up on Titan that they have violated some laws, and it's just something that, you know, that unfortunately some of the people here, it's not going to affect their generation. I'm 21 years old, and it's going to affect my generation in the future. And I know that my generation is tired of cleaning up the messes of the past generation. So that's something that you know, really affects me deeply. I've grown up enjoying, like I said, the beautiful landscape of the Cape Fear River, and it's sad to say that the irreversible damage done is not going to be worth the jobs that are coming in. We all know how bad the economy is. I think everybody knows. And of course, that's a big situation. It's sad that it outweighs some of the irreversible damage that will be done. So I just ask, we're here today as a community. You see all the red shirts. We're here today and just ask that please give a full review before you give any permits. So thank you.
Ray Thatcher, and then Jillian Storminger. Sorry for mispronouncing the name.
I'm Ray Thatcher from 5408 Holly Shelter Road in Castlevania, North Carolina. I'm employed by Mark Marietta. I oversee five of our coastal quarry operations, and each of these sites has an air permit. I'm very familiar with the criteria for obtaining a state air permit, and equally familiar with complying with the air permit requirements. I know as these permits mandate equipment that is often expensive, and the compliance is a primary focus of any plant and the plant operators. Because I'm not a public speaker either, so I apologize. The primary focus of any plant operator is to comply with the permits, because failure to comply may result in a loss of the permit. None of us with such investments in our plants can afford to ever be out of compliance with our permits, and tied to the investments of many millions of dollars would not allow this to happen. Titan is a responsible company with proven experience in operating cement plants currently in Roanoke and Miami. They have won environmental awards, and they have submitted documentation required by your department that proves that they can and will comply with the provisions of the air permit. The jobs that will be created by Titan and this new plant are desperately needed. They will be as many as 1,000 jobs created during the construction phase, and that will last for a span over 2 years. Titan plans to work with Cape Fear Community College to train local people for plant jobs, and that will directly benefit the area. Millions of dollars will be added to the tax base, which will enrich the community. The final product, cement, is a key ingredient in concrete, our most important building material. Local supply will keep the prices down as opposed to importing from other states or offshore. Titan has a history of being active in the community and where it operates. They will be a good corporate citizen. And all of these things are good reasons to grant the permit. But the most important reason is that Titan has met the criteria and the legal requirements, so they deserve the permit to be issued. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Jillian Strominger, and then Wilson Carr.
Hi, my name is Jillian Strominger. I'm with the Duke Law and Environmental Policy Clinic, and I'm here on behalf of Kendall Washington Service. Mr. Butler, if the North Carolina Department of Air Quality issues this permit, it will frustrate a NEPA review, which this project holistically is ultimately subject to. Before we consider the air permit, we need to think about the holistic effects of what Titan America proposed to do, and the people here who are concerned about this project deserve a full environmental review before we make a decision about what the appropriate air limitations are and whether or not this project should be segregated. The National Environmental Policy Act seeks to ensure that federal agencies consider and attempt to minimize the environmental impacts of major actions. All agencies considering actions, such as approving a Section 404 permit, shall consider the environmental impacts of the proposed action. In doing so, they need to consider any adverse environmental impacts, any possible ways to minimize the full environmental impacts, and any alternatives to the action. If a company, and before doing this, you need to ensure that no irretrievable resources are committed toward taking a corporation down a specific path that would disallow a full consideration of alternatives. NEPA's requirements are clear. When federal agencies are involved in a project, the project should not be completed until a searching and comprehensive review has been done. Now, although the North Carolina Department of Air Quality decision is not on its own a federal action that triggers NEPA, this permit is one piece of a greater environmental review that will ultimately be subject to NEPA. Titan America has stated several times that in order for its cement plant to be economically viable, it must build a quarry to mine limestone within 3 miles of the plant. This statement makes it clear that the quarry and cement plant are interrelated parts of the same project. This project will impact wetlands, and the Army Corps of Engineers will ultimately have to issue an impact or issue a floodplain permit. When they do this, they'll be subject to an impact analysis. Once NEPA is triggered, it's clear that that mandate requires consideration of the entire environmental project. Basic textbook law establishes that corporations cannot avoid comprehensive review by breaking their project up into segments and seeking independent review for different portions. To determine whether an action is a separate project, the appropriate question is whether that action makes sense as a standalone project. In this instance, Titan America itself has answered that question for us. It does not. By representing that the cement plant will only be economically viable within 3 miles of the quarry, Titan has clearly stated that the cement project is not, that the cement plant does not make sense as a standalone project. Thus, if comprehensive review is not completed until Titan applies for its 404 permit, a holistic review of the cement plant and the quarry under NEPA will be ineffective, thereby denying citizens in this area adequate environmental protection. An adequate review under NEPA, I submit the rest of my comments.
Wilson Carr, and then James Taylor.
Good afternoon, sir. Thank you for having me.
My name is Jones.
My name is Wilson Carr. I'm a husband, I'm a son, and I am a Marine. Every day I drive through Camp Lejeune, North Carolina War. Every day I am exposed to the toxic sand and dirt that is within that camp. More often than not, there's usually some wildfire going on. My peers experience these same things every day. And then they deploy and are exposed to more toxins within that air. We've all read the studies, we've all heard the news about the toxic sand and the dust within Afghanistan and Iraq. You've heard the experts here speaking about what the health problems will be caused by Titan, have been caused by Titan and their subsidiaries. What are we doing for ourselves? What are we saying to our vets that want to come home, move on with their lives in the military, to come to Wilmington to find out that Titan has erected a 400-foot smokestack, exposing them to everything else that they have already experienced the last 4 years in their military careers? We owe it to ourselves, to our children, to our veterans, and our current military members to not issue an air permit without full review. Thank you.
James Taylor, and then that will be followed by John Holloway.
My name is James Taylor. I've lived in the Wilmington area all my life. I worked 21 years for Ideal Cement Company, and now I'm 71 years old. Those 21 years were the best years of my life. I got married, built and paid for a home, and we raised two fine daughters. We only have one grandson, and when he is old enough, I would be proud if he could get a job with Titan or any other cement company. I never suffered any health problems as a result of working for Ideal. I know of no employee or of Ideal or anyone in our area that had health problems related to Ideal's operation. I don't understand why a few that are opposed to Titan fear the health risk for pollution from Titan. Titan must conform to all federal and state environmental rules and regulations, and there is a very big book of them. These rules and regulations are much, much stronger than they were during Ideal's operation, and there were no health problems related to their operation. There's a small group of misinformed people that for some reason are trying to keep Titan from located in our area. If that happens, we will lose over 100 well-paying jobs at Titan, along with all the businesses that would help support Titan. New Hanover County will also lose a substantial tax revenue. If that small group is successful in keeping Titan from coming into our area, I am afraid that other industries or companies that would like to locate in our area would see what happened to Titan and would locate somewhere else. We need to bring jobs into our area, not keep them out.
John Holloway will be followed by
Jonna,
sorry, and followed by Doug Springer.
Hello, my name is Jonna Holloway. I'm here to ask that the agency please not allow any construction to begin until all the environmental aspects of this company can be reviewed. And I also would say that if this company is to be a good representative and a good citizen, and they should be following the most strict and efficient environmental laws, not just what is required by our law. The gentleman was saying that they can, and if they can make it a better place, then that's what they should do, especially in this area that depends so much on the tourism industry. Again, please do not allow anything to be started until all environmental impacts have been carefully reviewed so that our valuable resources, natural resources, are not depleted or hurt in any way. Thank you.
Doug Springer, followed by Tom Looney.
My name is Doug Springer. I'm a resident and landowner of Castle Hayne. I'm a small business owner whose living is being threatened by Titan Cement, as are the health of my family, the value of our property, and investment in a house that sits on the Northeast Cape Fear, less than 3 miles from ground zero from the proposed coal-burning plant. In the first set of public hearings held over 2 years ago, it was clearly pointed out to you that the section of the Northeast Cape Fear River that Titan Cement proposed plan to build a new coal-burning plant is listed on as mercury impaired on the federal 303D list, and that it is against the federal law for you to permit any additional discharge of mercury into it. This section of the river spans almost exactly 5 miles north and 5 miles south of the location of the old cement plant. At Titan's own admission, in a report paid for by Titan, contracted to Intertox, i.e. Dr. Kluse, he states that mercury emissions from their plant will be deposited in the Northeast Cape Fear River. This is clearly a violation of the Clean Water Act. His recommendation to the residents of Castle Hayne was to eat less fish, an insult to them and the citizens of North Carolina. As you understand, the Department of Air Quality and the Department of Water Quality are stovepipe organizations within DENR. This stovepipe allows you, the Department of Air Quality, if you wish, to ignore the impact of our air emissions to our water. However, there is a vehicle available to the Department of Natural Resources to address this problem. That is our state's Environmental Policy Act. It is within the power of DENR to recommend to our governor that SEPA should be used for the permitting of a facility like Titan Cement. Titan Cement has spent millions of dollars in lobbyist fees, legal fees, and campaigns to avoid being regulated by SEPA. For one reason and one reason only, they clearly understand that if the total impact to air, water, and health are given consideration at the same time, they will not be permitted to build a new coal-burning plant. A county that is already threatened by being classified for non-attainment by the EPA for SO2 emissions, or next to a chromium deposit that can barely be contained even without a drawdown of our aquifer, the destruction of wetlands that buffer downstream flooding and support a rich ecosystem, as well as the waste of millions of gallons of water that they will pump from our aquifer that will be needed for us to grow in the future, they dread will be looked at in total, not to mention the impact to our health and quality of life. For day one, it has been the total focus of their attorneys and lobbyists to avoid SEPA. Initially, they hired the lobbyist firm that our ex-governor easily now works for to represent them. They were guided through the halls of our legislature by his former chief of staff and coached on how to avoid SEPA from day one. Yes, and even more interesting, after a two-year campaign targeting our ex-governor Easley and the Department of Commerce to receive funds that they clearly indicated were required for them to come to North Carolina, they were allowed by the state of North Carolina to return these funds so that they could once again avoid SEPA. Frankly, if that had been you or me, we would be in jail. Robin Smith, the Assistant Secretary for the Environment, understands that the permitting process for Titan Cement should be reviewed under SEPA. In fact, her early statements were used as evidence in the trial where DENR and Titan were sued by Cape Fear River Watch and Coastal Federations. Emails from Robin Smith show where she initially stated that SEPA should apply to Titan. I'm asking you to join me write a letter open to the public directed at Robin Smith, D. Freeman, and Governor Perdue stating that you understand that the review of permitting of air quality permit for the construction of a coal-burning plant to support Titan Cement must be done under the guidelines of our state's Environmental Policy Act. Thank you.
Tom Looney will be followed by Anna Lee.
Good evening, and thank you for being here to hold these hearings. My name is Tom Looney. My family and I live in Wilmington. My air quality comments are shaped by 30 years as an executive of some of the most successful American corporations of the 20th century. We created wealth and created hundreds of jobs. We also created new industries and new sectors, which today make an incredibly positive contribution to GDP and our national trade supply, most recently a $600 billion plus surplus. Just a comment, first off, that I want to make is that the opposition to Titan is frequently misrepresented by the media and certainly by the pro-Titan, the crony capitalists as being, business and industry against tree huggers and doctors. Please, the business community that I'm from is insulted by being represented by those so-called pro-business, pro-industry guys. I'm hopeful and optimistic air quality is as economically strategic to Governor Perdue as it is to me. Surely the focus of her many speeches and weekly newsletters have emphasized her commitment to North Carolina's 21st century job creation, economic competitiveness, economic relevance, and the economic prosperity of the major economic populations in the state, like strategic Wilmington. The governor also commits to modernize and integrate government to serve the best interests of citizens as it relates to jobs, education, healthcare, and the environment. Presumably, this integrated government apparatus includes the Division of Air Quality. So I do appreciate you listening to these comments that have a business aspect and economic aspect. I'm extraordinarily pro-business, pro-market, pro-manufacturing advocate. My companies then and now manufacture various forms of hardware, and we also create in-licensed software. Air quality today is an economic development issue. Yes, it's an issue of decency, of public health, and of environmental interest. But contrary to the backwards-leaning, failed overseers of our formal regional economic development apparatus in this county, air quality as a mandatory imperative for economic competitiveness and relevance and the economic prosperity is not about dodging air quality mandates or filing endless lawsuits to challenge the spirit of air quality regulatory oversight in place since 1970, which the Portland Cement Association, we should all know, is run by the president of Titan USA, and he has helped coordinate and orchestrate an onslaught of lawsuits against the EPA, fighting every rule, and these are simply mandated by the courts. Air quality in the 21st century is a competitive advantage, the mandate of competitive economies. And our competitors, places, cities, and regions in the Southeast, like Charleston, South Carolina, are publishing regular economic scorecards with air quality index scores proudly displayed, with an explicit commitment to protect air quality, along with water and land and public health, as incalculably valuable economic assets that they are. Thank you very much.
Anna Lee, followed by Ronald Sheffield. Is Anna Lee, is she here to speak? How about Ronald Sheffield? Anyone here named know of Ronald Sheffield?
I'm not here with a whole lot of facts and figures, but I am here to present something to you.
Are you Ronald Sheffield?
I'm Ronald Sheffield. Okay. I'm from Hampstead, Pender County. This is a little 2-ounce bottle of honey. I would like to present that to you. It takes the life, it takes a bee her whole entire life to develop 1/12 of a teaspoon of honey. The damage that we're afraid of this 400-foot smokestack would do would harm the area where our bees forage. They forage up to 5 miles from their home. It's thousands and thousands of acres downwind or in the path of this smokestack. This summer I asked Mr. Odom over the phone on a radio talk show if he could give me a list of any of the items that were coming from his smokestack down to the vegetables and fruit crops. He could not name one item. And I thought that was pretty sad for a manager of such a big conglomerate to be unknowledgeable about. What I'd like to do is show you. This item here is a smoker. It's a bee smoker. What it does, it will make a bee go away from this exhaust vent right here. Without the smoker, you're going to get hurt and the bees are going on happy. But what's going to happen if this smokestack is out there blowing up fumes all day long, that bee is not going to go near it. So when they're in flight, they're out looking for food, we consume the fruits of their labor. Without the honeybee, we have no pollination. I don't know where it has been in your guys' studies, but I would love for you to show us some kind of impact, whether or not the ashes and gases will be a problem for our crops. If we have microbe pollinators that take thousands and thousands of hives all across the United States, we have a problem with bees right now. It's called colony collapse disorder. We've got to have something, guys. We just can't keep going on and on and on. Now, I'm also a commercial fisherman. I raise oysters. I raise clams down in Topsail Sound. I don't need this stuff coming down on my beds where I'm trying to make a product to supply fresh seafood to our local area. So we need to look at this not only for monetary value. I have a real job. I've been in the insurance since 1983. So not only can I be a professional, but you've got to be smart about what kind of impacts that are going to happen, that could happen over 460 jobs and for 50 years on into the future where we have no idea what's going to happen. Thank you for your time.
Bill King, followed by Ron Givens.
Good evening. My name is Bill King. I want to thank you for the opportunity to come here and speak. I'm a native of the area, residing in Hanover County and the city of Wilmington. I was educated at NC State University with a degree in chemical engineering and thus consider myself somewhat of a scientist. And I come here to offer my thoughts on this permitting process. My belief is that permits are issued based on performance requirements and permissions, which are based on scientific evidence and which protects the public. Setting these performance standards is a requirement of the government, which we all support through our taxes and so. Governments set the rules, or have the obligation to set the rules for just order in our society. My belief that Titan or any industry seeking air and water permits must meet these regulatory requirements of the permits or be subject to enforcement action by the respective agencies. I place my trust in the regulatory process and thus in DENR, using science and their knowledge to determine if Titan or any other industry with a proposed investment meets the statutory requirements for emissions. If so, I suggest the permit should be issued, and I thank you for allowing me a chance to speak.
Ron Givens, followed by Pete Dvorky.
How are you doing? Thank you for having me. My name is Ron Givens. I have a lead speech. My name is Ron Givens. I was born and raised right here in Yonkers County. The only time I know to think that I left was when I attended college in Johnson City. My father worked at IBC for 16 years. He supported 11 of us. Took care of us greatly. What I don't want to happen to my community is I don't want my community to become a seasonal wasteland. That's what I see. We need Titan here. We need jobs here. I trust in my government and the other regulator. I remember as a little boy coming up and a lot of businesses left the area and all the jobs and disparity that a lot of people went through. My nation is asking that companies come back to the U.S. Titan is offering us this. And we're slapping them in the face and saying, no, we don't want it. We need Titan as much as Titan needs us.
Pete Dvorky, and then Michelle Newland, Nowlin.
My name is Pete Cook. Thank you for letting us all speak. I'm born and raised in Newbern, North Carolina, and I've been living in Wilmington for the past 18 years. At my house, we recycle. We use fluorescent lights. When those lights burn out, we hold on to them and dispose of them properly. And we're not tree huggers, but we are stewards of good stewards to the environment. Almost 30 years ago, I graduated from UNCW. Since then, I've worked in three different industries: commercial construction, manufacturing and importation, and commercial transportation. During that time, I have come in contact with and worked with six governmental regulatory agencies: OSHA, Food and Drug Administration, U.S. Customs, Department of Transportation, Department of Agriculture, and the EPA. In every case, in every situation where I work with these agencies, I found the regulators to be both thorough and very unforgiving. Now, if I take those experiences and the knowledge that I gained from working with those agencies, apply it to this situation, I ain't scared of Titan. I believe Titan's going to do a good job. I believe that the regulatory agencies will ensure that Titan does a good job. And if somebody does miss something, I believe the Coastal Federation people and the Riverwatch people will be on them like white on rice. Like I said, I ain't scared of the Titan. I'm also concerned about the employment situation in New Hampshire County. We've all heard it's over 10%. Titan says 160 new jobs. Their critics say less than 100. Titan says 300 to 400 outside jobs to support them. The critics say less than 300. If we take those bottom numbers, that's approximately 400 jobs out there. That's 400 families could start paying their mortgages, start paying their insurance. I say, let the agencies do their job. Let the company come build the plant. Let's get those 400 people back to work, and let's go make some cement. Thank you.
Michelle New Nowlin, and then Brian Strange. Sorry if I mispronounced.
Hi, my name is Michelle Nolan. I'm an attorney with the Duke Environmental Law and Policy Clinic, and I'm here representing Underwatch and Conservancy. I'd like to point out that aside from the talk about NEPA, you don't need to wait for the Corps to do its NEPA analysis to get the information you need, and the citizens need and deserve to understand the full effects that this company would have on the region. You have the authority in the Air and Water Resources Statute and in the independent authorizations under the Federal Clean Air Act to request a comprehensive review, which I think is necessary to fully understand what this company's project would mean for the region. And let me make clear, we're not saying that the Division of Air Quality should deny a permit at this point. We're saying that the public has the right to understand the full array of impacts that would be associated with this facility. The air quality permit is something the company has wanted to proceed with, has successfully so far convinced the state to proceed without that comprehensive review, segmenting the project into little chunks so that the public is deprived of that full understanding. We encourage you to use the authority that you have. The reasons we encourage this is that this is an unprecedented scale of operation within the region. It is a significant new source of several potent neurotoxins that have impacts not only on human health, but also on ecological health. These include particulate matter, sulfur dioxide, and hazardous air pollutants such as benzene, mercury, lead, and hydrochloric acid, also manganese and chromium. The company has also shown that it is not a good neighbor. It has filed lawsuits against citizens trying to dampen public participation and opposition to the plant, not only here in Hanover County, but also in other places where it has operations. It has compliance problems that have been outlined earlier, and it is a global corporation that will profit at the expense of the community. The community has a right to understand what the full array of impacts are before any permit decisions are made. This is critical because everything that the air permit enables has an impact on other aspects that are within the Department of Environment and Natural Resources control. It has impacts on water quality. It has impacts through either emissions that will directly fall on air and wetland, excuse me, on the waters and wetlands, or be washed off through stormwater. It has impacts on groundwater, not only through the dewatering of the aquifer, but also possible mobilization of effluent contamination. It has impacts that are or should be regulated and coordinated with the Division of Coastal Management, with impacts on primary nursery areas and other areas of environmental concern. There are disposal concerns that should involve the Division of Solid Waste. Where is that cement kiln dust going to be stored? How is it going to be used? And how are you going to make sure that those pollutants that are captured through the air scrubber technologies do not affect groundwater in the region? It also has impacts that implicate resources managed by the Division of Marine Fisheries and the Wildlife Resources Commission. We believe that a coordinated review is absolutely essential, something that the state, the citizens of the state deserve, and it is your obligation to do as a trustee and steward of the public trust resources of the state. Thank you.
Brian Strange will be followed by Tracy Kellogg, Crowder.
I'm Brian Stang. I live in Hampstead, and I work in Wilmington. My wife and I moved out here 4 years ago, and we're expecting our first child in a couple weeks. And we love it here, hope we can stay here forever. But you know, I'm neither retired nor in college, so if we're going to stay here, that means I have to work. I'm a proponent of the economy, of a growing economy down here. I don't know if I trust Titan completely, but I do trust the regulators. I trust the system. let's let it work.
Tracy Kellogg, and then Christina Benavides.
Hi, my name is Tracy Kellogg Broder. I am a mom of Zoe, who is 3, and Fiona, who is almost 2. And therefore, I am very concerned with the environmental impact of anything in my community as it pertains to their health. I do most of my research online. Being a mom, I'm home a lot. And I am a member of multiple family advocacy groups that have tens of thousands of researchers working for them. These people are completely unbiased. Well, that's not true. Their bias is the focus on children and the health impact on children. They don't worry about finances. They don't worry about political anything. They're just worried about finding out the truth. And what I do would like to point out first, in your flyer, I can quote from your flyer. It says, most air pollution comes from burning. Air pollution is unhealthy to breathe and can make us sick. It can harm plants and wildlife while causing problems such as climate change and aspirin. So, you've already agreed that burning and pollution is bad, and that is why we're here. I would also like to point out, New Hanover County's air is already dirty. In 2009, which is the most recent data, industries in New Hanover County emitted more than 7 times the criteria pollutants, which is air pollutants such as particulate matter that have most damaging effects on public health, than all the industries in Wake, Durham, and Orange counties combined. And that's before Titan. This is not what we want for our community. I was wondering if you've heard of subclinical toxicity. I'm not a doctor, but again, I do my research. That is what happens when you have low levels of exposure that cause left to something like, let's say, mercury, that causes less obvious disease and disorder to our most sensitive community members, i.e. my children. We need to look at that. When people say, well, I've worked in the cement industry for 60 years and I'm healthy, and that's great, and I can appreciate that, but I can also appreciate these diseases and disorders and behavior issues and intelligence issues that are being affected by the low levels of exposure. So please have a full environmental review and a full health review before giving any more permits. Thank you for your time.
Christina Benavides, and then Kelly Stryker.
Hi, my name is Christina. I am a political science major at UCW. And as a political science major, one thing that I've learned is that often an argument that is brought up in politics is the environment versus jobs. And through my research, I've learned that a lot of the time, you know, you can have this synthetic relationship where you have clean jobs and jobs that create energy that's renewable and that'll bring us out of all of these effects of climate change. And it's great that, you know, Titan says that they're going to bring jobs, and they also say that they're going to bring clean jobs. And one thing that we've already heard here is that Titan has greatly exaggerated the number of jobs they're going to be bringing. And they've also greatly exaggerated what they mean by clean, because they say, you know, they're going to be using green technology, but really they're trying to use technology that meets some of the lowest standards and will be emitting pollutants, which will contribute to smog, contribute to acid rain, contribute to increased rates of asthma and respiratory illness, and will be within 5 miles of 8,500 students. And I know that these aren't the kind of jobs that I want in my future, and these aren't the kind of jobs that a lot of people in my generation want, you know. And jobs are so important to us because so many students are graduating and going back to their parents' house. But I know that North Carolina has a great potential for better jobs. And this isn't what I want in my future. This isn't what I want in the future for my children. And if time comes, I wouldn't want my children to grow up here. And
also, there's more than 8,000 community members here that agree with me that oppose Titan Cement. And we all want a full environmental impact review before permits are allowed. Thank you.
Kelly Stryker, and then Beth Carter.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak today. My name is Kelly Stryker. My three children, all elementary and middle school aged, have just been up for redistricting to the elementary and middle schools located less than 2 miles from Titan's chosen location. Whether my children attend these schools or not, some of these children will. And if the increased air pollution resulted in one child of these schools having increased asthma or respiratory issues, our community deserves to know. Despite what Titan's officials love to say, cement plants, especially massive coal burn cement plants, such as the one Titan wants to build here, are not clean industries. EPA-ranked cement plants is the third largest source of industrial pollution and the fourth single largest source of mercury pollution in the U.S. Industrial pollution kills. This fact is not up for debate. Reducing industrial emissions saves lives. How Titan's emissions will affect our community, our children, that's what I want to know before any permits are issued. Our state has never had a cement plant the size of the one Titan wants to build in Castlehaine. The old cement plant located in the same area was a fourth the size of Titan's. As such, the Division of Air Quality has never reviewed an air permit like Titan's cement, nor have they ever had to monitor a cement plant this size. Considering that the current political push in Raleigh and D.C. is to defund environmental regulations and delay important cement regulations that will save lives, especially children, it's little comfort to parents like myself to hear Titan repeat that they promise to adhere to all regulations. Will they meet all regulations or will they beat all regulations? That's the real question. I don't know the answer, but I do know that Titan's CEO is pushing to delay regulations that will save thousands of lives. So what happens if Titan meets the current regulations and increases their air pollution at this Castlehaine plant? What happens if they expand their mining right up to our schools? Dust, explosion, heavy trucks, how will this affect our children? And to the point the gentleman made earlier about childhood in D.C., how do we get our kids outside when our air is not healthy to breathe? The current air permit says they'll control dust on the roads by sweeping and spraying water. This is considered state-of-the-art technology. I noticed that their smokestack grew taller than this draft air permit. It's now almost 500 feet tall. Does a taller stack mean a less polluting industry, or are we just sending our local pollution to somebody else? Please don't make our children a science experiment. We don't want to wait 30 years to learn that Titan's project damaged our drinking water, permanently altered our natural ecosystem, made our air quality unhealthy to breathe, and was the direct result of children suffering more asthma attacks. Your agency has the authority to delay this air permit until all impacts are known. Please support our community to respect our need to know all impacts before any permits are issued. Thank you.
Is Anna Lee here? I understand. I went by her name earlier, but she's might be here now. Like to come speak, Miss Lee?
I'm Ashley. If it's written in the script, it's just because I got bad memory.
620 South 7th. Okay. Well, I'll just set this to the side. Beth Carter, and then Bill King. Bill King already spoke. Okay. Beth Carter, is she here? Ashley Lee.
Take care.
My chief primary concern is the existing contamination issues that were found in the 80s on an ideal cement plant that's located in the same location. I think what bothers me the most is that there's no current testing done on that soil where Titan may be given the ability to build something new, and there's current petroleum already in the ground. The fact that they are not performing any testing on that end makes me feel like they do not care about the potential workforce that they could bring in, as well as people that would be affected daily by just the cement making daily production. I was raised in Wilmington as well. I care a lot about this community. I'm also concerned about the draw of the big, great jobs. With most large companies, jobs are brought in, jobs go to people not local. The construction job and the building of the cement plant would certainly be most local, but the long-term good money-paying jobs would go to high folks that would not be coming from this area. At least I don't like that look at. In addition to that, I guess I just want the people of New Hampshire County to be safe. I want the water, the ground, everything in that property tested to protect the potential workforce. And if it's not safe, I would ask that they would go somewhere that it would be safe for their workforce, and potentially somewhere further away from such a heavily populated community that is so rich in resources as we are. And that's it. Thank you.
Eric Goldman. And if anybody knows where Beth Carter or Anna Lee are, they can speak afterwards. Okay, Anna Lee or Beth Carter? I've left the building. Is there anyone who has registered that would like to comment that wasn't called to speak? In other words, did I miss anyone that checked the want to give an oral presentation? I would like to thank each and every one of you for your attendance this afternoon or this evening and your interest. I'd like to take time to remind you again that the written comments can and will be accepted until October 31st, 2011. And at that time, the comment period will have expired and the record will be closed. Based on the information received during today's hearings and the comment period ending October 31st, I will make a recommendation to the Director of the Division of Air Quality for her consideration in making a final decision on whether to issue, modify, or deny the issuance of the proposed air permit. If no further comments to be offered, thank you again for your cooperation, attendance, and interest. And this public hearing is hereby adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.